one of the big players in the Great Reset, and that is a term that applies to a lot of things on this planet, but one of the primary players is the Roman Catholic Church, otherwise known as the Church. What is it, 1.3 billion members, something like that, around the world? And if you're late to the party, you're just tuning in, Father Paul Kramer, one of the most extraordinary voices in the Church, who knows exactly what's going on, has been a regular guest for some months now, and we have learned a lot. We learned from Father Kramer that the Church has essentially been overthrown. There has been a coup, and the rightful Pope, Benedict XVI, was deposed in the coup and locked up in the Vatican for the last 9 years of his life. He died not many months ago. He wrote a book, but didn't lay it out. He just didn't. He could have, but he didn't. So we have this creep from Argentina named Bergoglio, who is now the alleged Pope. And he is stacking the roster with other people of his ilk. And the future of the Catholic Church, according to the Great Reset, is that it will become the purveyor of the new world religion, which is the worship of nature. Nothing wrong with that, theoretically. I get it. But at the expense of humankind. And the Church is going to be a very powerful and evil instrument in the years to come, however many years there may be. It's not a good situation. But we are really, not to be using a religious pun, but we're really blessed to have Father Kramer as a visitor and someone who wants to share the truth with us. Welcome back, Father Paul Kramer. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be back. And yes, I have to agree with your assessment there. But what they do not grasp is that the Church is a divine institution, and they cannot take it over and transform it into something else. What they can do is create a counterfeit, but they cannot remodel the original. This is what Bergoglio intends to do, because we have coming soon the next session of the so-called synod, which is not really a synod as has been understood in the Church for the last 2,000 years.
Would you give us, please, a direct definition of S-Y-N-O-D, a synod? People see the word, but a lot of people who aren't Catholics won't know. What is it traditionally? What is a synod supposed to be?
It is basically a gathering of church officials, usually the most importantly bishops of a region, or it can be a Roman synod. It can be not a council that is not a universal, a general council, an ecumenical council, but a smaller council that would not be representing the whole church throughout the world, the universal church. That would be a synod. Or, like I said, regional synods. You can have synods in various countries, mm-hmm. where the bishops gather together to deal with important questions.
All right. Now, I got it.
But this is not really a synod. It's made, like everything with Bergoglio, is counterfeit. Everything is fake. This is not a synod. It is orchestrated from the top. They pick who's going to come to the synod. They make sure that they have represented a large majority that's going to vote for what Bergoglio wants to push through. This is orchestrated as would be a democratic what could we say, a convention in the Soviet Union or North Korea, something like that. It is It is orchestrated, choreographed. It is designed to look something like a council, something like a synod, but actually it's supposed to only appear to be that the church is making the decision, but not, no, it's not. It is Bergoglio. So that is what they're going to be doing in Rome next month, the next gathering of this synod. And this synod, this time, this session of the synod coming up next month is going to be decisive, because it will be dealing with the matters touching upon the constitution of the universal church. And that is the whole idea of what Bergoglio is intending to do to remodel the church into a different institution. He calls it a synod on the synodality, which is to change the church from its constitution, which has existed for the last 2,000 years. It is a monarchy, because Jesus Christ, as he said to Pontius Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" He said, "Indeed, I am a king." And so he appointed St. Peter to be his representative on earth before he ascended into heaven, to be the visible head of the church, the man in charge. And since he is the man in charge, he has the primacy, the power to rule the universal church. That is what a legitimate pope does. The bishops have territorial jurisdiction. They are true legislators and rulers and judges, but the pope has that kind of a jurisdiction over the entire church. But a synodal church transfers the seat of power. Ecclesiastical power would reside in the national hierarchies, where they would have their synods discuss and answer and judge important questions in all affairs of the life of the church, whether it be doctrinal or disciplinary.
Right.
And the so-called pope of the synodal church will be a chairman of the board pope, just an executive who rubber stamps the decisions made by the synods and coordinates the various synods throughout the world. But the power will reside in the synods, not with the papacy. That is an entirely different kind of church than what the Catholic Church has been for the last 2,000 years, and they cannot change this. Because to attempt to change it is just to create a different church. But okay. It was Bergoglio. Bergoglio did say that his synodal church is going to be a different church. He actually said it's going to be a different church.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Now, in Tyler, Texas, there's a bishop by the name of Bishop Joseph Strickland. And Bishop Strickland came out with a pastoral letter recently, just last month,
right.
Late last, in fact. And he pointed out that when in this synod they're going to attempt to change things that cannot be changed, when we resist these changes, when the Catholic people and the Catholic clergy resist these changes, they are not leaving the church. He said, "Is those who attempt to change what cannot be changed, they are the true schismatics." In other words, they are the ones who are leaving the church. They are separating themselves from the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So they will still call it the Catholic Church, but they have, in fact, at least from the Bergoglio's Vatican, they have separated themselves from the Catholic Church already. They are intruders. Mm-hmm. They are a gang of pirates, intruders.
Yeah.
It is not. It is not a legitimate papacy in Rome.
They're thugs. They're actually criminals in a way. They're certainly frauds. We know that.
Oh. And in the anomaly in the church today is that we have Bergoglio's Vatican, which is going along with all the fraud that is being foisted on the population of the world through through their supine compliant governments and their compliant institutions and university faculties and corporations, so that the one who should be speaking out and upholding the truth, especially the moral truths, the divine truths, they're not doing so. And ironically, the message of Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima spoke of the errors of Russia, which were which were historically the errors of Soviet communism. Now we see a complete reversal. The one who is speaking out and upholding the truth is the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, yeah.
Putin recently, just a few days ago, I believe, he was mocking the Anglican Church's policy. Now they're trying to promote the idea of a genderless God. And this entire UN agenda to reduce population is the motivation for all of this absolutely absurd gender ideology. Again, they are consummate hypocrites. It has nothing to do whatsoever with human rights, what they call inclusivity, that we have to be, they say, we have to be inclusive, and we mustn't make anyone be upset or displeased by being excluded, and we have to be inclusive. So every form of perversion has to be accepted, and every kind of pervert has to be accepted into your church. You have to welcome with open arms every pervert who wants to come to your church and take part in the life of the church. And this is absurd. And they call it inclusivity, but it's not inclusive because it excludes and persecutes anyone who doesn't accept the ideology that they are trying to coercively impose on the rest of the world and to coercively impose on the church. And eventually they're going to use the force of so-called law to enforce that ideology. That's not very inclusive.
No.
I guess Emperor Nero could not be accused of being inclusive in his policy toward the Christians, now could he? But in the name of inclusivity, they will exclude anyone who does not accept their coerced policy of inclusion. So the whole thing is an inversion. It's a caricaturizing of the whole idea of equality as a basic human right. No, this isn't equality. This is the communist idea of consensus, which is the party has made a decision, and you must all bow down and be submissive to the decision.
Absolutely, yeah, crazy.
And Bergoglio's church is entirely in line with the perverse ideology. Even though Bergoglio and his Vatican inject enough ambiguity so it won't be too clear, so the contradiction won't be too clear in the confused minds of the public. And people, unfortunately, are very confused because especially in the Catholic Church, they are looking for leadership, and the bark of Peter, the boat, which should be the flagship, has now become rudderless.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what the future for the Catholic Church is other than that which the elite have dictated it become. I don't know how that we're going to get. How are you going to get in there and overthrow this criminal cabal that's running the church when every day they seem to be shoring up their positions and increasing their strength? It's not a good situation. There has to be a rebellion. We've talked about this before, but and who was the, doggone it, was it a bishop? I sent you recently that little clip, that audio clip. You remember?
I'm trying to remember now.
It was in English, and I've forgotten his name, but it was about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. Anyway, he seemed to be sounding the alarm, Paul Revere-like, waking people up, trying to. He was dressed in black. I assume that was a bishop, I think. Anyway, it was an interesting clip.
I've seen many. Another one who's speaking out now is Cardinal Burke.
Maybe that's just who it was. I don't know.
Cardinal Burke is one who's speaking out, and I believe it could be the one that you sent. Yes, it could be Cardinal Burke. The Church, as our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, that He came to light a fire on earth. Mm-hmm. Now, that fire, the divine light of faith, the revealed truth, is a fire that no created power can extinguish. What is of divine power. Mm-hmm. So this is what we see going to be happening to the church now. They will use violence. They will use oppression to shut down the church that we have known. And they're going to impose their new counterfeit church.
Right.
But they are going like a massive team of fire departments trying to put out the fire, and they think they have it under control. Mm-hmm. and they will report among themselves the fire is under control, it will soon be out, it's almost extinguished, but they can never quite put it out, and they never will be able to put it out, and it will finally, in the end, the fire will outlive them. Uh-huh. And it will again, that fire of divine truth will re-engulf the entire world, because Christ Himself had said, "Fear not, I've conquered the world. I've overcome the world." And He said, "You see, I have told you all these things in advance." So they will attempt to completely eradicate not just Christianity, not just the name of the memory of Jesus Christ. They want to eradicate every trace of God from human society.
Wow, they're going to vacuum everything out. They just want a clean house. Wow. Yeah, Pope Francis is the that guy, he gives me the creeps. He's just awful.
Well, as Jesus Christ Himself said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Reminds me of Cardinal Gasparri, who was the Secretary of State during the reign of Pope Pius XII. Mm-hmm. And he had a parrot, and people would come into the mm-hmm. cardinal's office, and they would hear the parrot say in Latin, "Non prevalebunt, non prevalebunt." They will not prevail. They will not prevail because because all the bad news that was coming out about these godless forces, communism and such, all the advances that they were making in the world, and the cardinal would be reading the newspaper, and he would exclaim as he read the newspaper, "Non prevalebunt, non prevalebunt." So the birds started saying that, "Non prevalebunt." Well, that's true. They will not prevail.
Got it. Well, let's hope not. All right, the video I sent you was of, I can never pronounce this right. It's Vigano, right?
Oh, yes, Vigano, yes.
All right, this is the Carlo Maria Vigano, a plea to the world, warning the world. Let's play just a couple minutes of this just for fun and get you to comment on it. All right, here it is.
For 2 years now, we have been witnessing a global coup d'etat in which a financial and ideological elite has succeeded in seizing control of part of the national government, public and private institutions, the media, the judiciary, politicians and religious leaders. All of these, without distinction, have become enslaved to these new masters who ensure power, money, and social affirmation to their accomplices. Fundamental rights, which up until yesterday were presented as inviolable, have been trampled underfoot in the name of an emergency. Today, a health emergency, tomorrow, an ecological emergency, and after that, an internet emergency. This global coup d'etat deprives citizens of any possibility of defense, since the legislative, executive, and judicial powers are complicit in the violation of law, justice, and the purpose for which they exist. It is a global coup d'etat.
Okay, well, he's pretty much right on the mark.
Yes. They are going to outlaw the selling of meat, the consumption of meat, meat and dairy products.
Yeah,
there are cities all over North America and other parts of the world where they're proposing this idea already to outlaw meat and dairy products. And
well, look again, what they're doing in Ireland. They're trying to force the Irish meat and beef and dairy farmers to kill 200,000 cattle for environmental reasons. And it's right out there in the open. They're not hiding it. And I don't see much pushback. That's the problem. I don't see enough. The farmers are outraged, but what are they going to do? I don't know.
It's happening in the Netherlands also. They're taking over the farmland and they're tying the hands of the farmers, and this is going to cause massive starvation eventually. And they know it. It is intended. That's what they intend to do, to create massive starvation.
Right. They want a famine. They're working on a famine. It's all planned, and they're implementing that plan right now in incremental steps. Exactly.
Climate science is a total fraud. And the man who has absolutely proven this is Lord Monckton, Christopher Monckton.
Monckton, M-O-N-C-K-T-O-N, I think. Yeah, he's spoken very well about it. Yeah.
Yes. he's proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that they are simply carrying out an agenda.
And
these so-called the climate scientists, there are two kinds. There are those who are the consummate hypocrites who know that this is how they could advance their careers and gain wealth and power. Because the powers that be have dictated that there's going to be this climate science for the purpose of shutting down human civilization, which is what they intend to do. Then there are those who have been taken in by the climate science, the true believers, who are so completely fanatical about the so-called climate science that the they can't even see through the perfidy of the deceit that is behind the whole thing. In other words, all the evidence is cherry picked for them to reach a certain outcome. It is an outcome-oriented science. It is a fake science.
Well, they're creating their own fraud reality to sustain the campaign to make it stick. It's quite a scene to watch.
Yeah. So they're going to declare an ecological crisis, like Archbishop Vigano mentioned. But before that, we already have the health crisis has already begun. And that is equally fraudulent. They create a pandemic in order to impose what they call to be a so-called vaccine, and the so-called vaccine is a bioweapon, and that was the whole purpose of creating the pandemic in the first place. Now, this is interesting. I read the other day. I think it was Dr. Paul Alexander, a Canadian doctor, who posted
right. Paul Elias Alexander. That's the one.
Yeah, a document where the CDC, the Center for Disease Controls, admitted that the vaccinated people are more likely to catch COVID than the unvaccinated people. Now, what is a vaccine supposed to do? It's supposed to immunize. A vaccine is supposed to make you immune. I think we can all remember when Anthony Fauci was asked, how will you stop this virus? He said, vaccine. You take the vaccine, that will stop the virus. It will just stop it. Does everyone remember that this is what Fauci said? I certainly remember.
You betcha. Yeah.
It's a fraud. It's a total fraud.
It couldn't be worse than that. It's a genocidal fraud. It's people, Father Kramer, already millions and millions of people have died, and many more millions are sick, injured, and suffering right this moment. And hundreds of billions and billions ultimately are going to go down the same road. That's our scientific evaluation after studying this for 3 years now almost. It's awful what they're doing to people. It is satanic. It is beyond belief. Go ahead.
Here in Ireland, I know so many people who are telling me of people that they know. And just a few days ago, I heard of another case. A woman who was so-called vaccinated, and this bioweapon injection has completely destroyed her health. She'll never be the same.
Nope, they don't come back. Nope.
And the statistics prove that this is a bioweapon. It is proven in England. Mm-hmm. I think last time I said United Kingdom. In fact, it was the figures for England. In England, the official statistics of the government show that before the rollout of the so-called vaccines, you did not have a big spike in unexpected deaths. When you have a pandemic, that's usually what causes unexpected deaths. But it was the big spike came after the campaign for vaccination, not during the pandemic, but in the post-pandemic period when they started, as it were, vaccinating people.
Right.
And the statistics are, with unexpected deaths of the vaccinated portion of the population and the unvaccinated, and the huge spike in unexpected deaths, excess deaths, as they call them, are among the vaccinated only, not among the unvaccinated. That is absolute proof that the so-called vaccine is indeed killing a large number of people. But that's not going to stop them. Now there's another variant of the Omicron variant. There's yet another variant of that coming out, and they're resorting to the scare tactics to try to get everyone to be injected with this poison.
Well, here's let me sum it up. Within 2 to 4 weeks, the new booster is coming out. That booster is supposed to protect you against the current variant. It does not. It goes back to the Omicron sub XBB variant, which is now in decline. The three newest variants, and I don't know who names these things, but get these names, Father Kramer. These are the names of the newest variants out there. Eris, E-R-I-S, the goddess of chaos is Eris. Chaos, which is what they thrive on. They want chaos. Pirola, P-I-R-O-L-A, which is the name of a very large asteroid circling the sun, Pirola. So you've got chaos, you have an asteroid, and the other one is called Fornax, F-O-R-N-A-X, which means furnace or oven. All right, you've got furnace, you've got an asteroid, and you've got chaos. Those are the names of the three current variants that are just coming out.
None of the vaccines they've made, none of the boosters they've made, have done anything to prevent the spread of disease.
Well, and now they want you to believe they're weapons, of course.
But they want everyone to believe that the new booster will do what the previous ones couldn't do already.
Right. I agree. I have a couple of emails from one of our listeners. I think you know him, Jeffrey Klump, and he was asking tonight, what kind of violence can be expected against Latin Mass Catholics? I guess he's talking about physical violence, but violence comes in many different flavors. What kind of violence can be expected to try to force the Latin Mass Catholics to conform?
Bergoglio is becoming unhinged about the traditional Catholics, and he is especially singling out those of the United States. Again, like I said before, the church is a divine institution. It's like a fire that they cannot extinguish, no matter how hard they try, no matter what concerted efforts they make to put that fire out. They cannot do it, even though they expected to put it out, but they just can't do it. It's like the Siege of Malta, 8 years before the Battle of Lepanto in the mid 1500s. The Turks sent their warships to attack the island of Malta, and they thought that it would be an easy battle to win. You had 90 warships filled with soldiers. Mm-hmm. On the island, they had 1,500 armed monks and about 1,500 trained civilians. So about 3,000, a force of about 3,000 men to defend the island against a well-organized military force. Mm-hmm. So the Turks thought that they would easily defeat Malta, and that would be their base to make their attack on Europe.
Right.
But the one in charge of the army has Salem, who was a successor, the son of Suleiman the Magnificent.
Oh yeah.
He said, "I fear the prayers of Pius V more than all the warships of Venice," and he had reason to do so, because that was when he went into war, to battle at Lepanto and lost, and he had an overwhelming force 8 years later in Lepanto. But even until the 19th century, the most universally known event in human history was that great siege of Malta, when the 90 warships of the Turks, of the Ottoman Empire, attacked Malta. They had only three bases on the island. Robert La Valette had the lowest lying fort, the three forts, the lowest lying was St. Elmo's, and they were instructed to fight to the last man because they had to buy time. And the war raged on. The siege with its war just continued on throughout the entire summer. It wore out the Turks. And when the Turks made their final offensive to try to take over the last remaining fort, on a higher elevation on the island, the Maltese forces were running out of ammunition, and they had to make a decision: are they going to conserve the ammunition, or are they going to put on a big display of power, as if they're all refreshed and ready to go into battle, and they've got gunpowder to burn? So they decided to have the guns blazing, shooting the artillery when the Turks are still far out of range, as soon as they appear on the horizon. Right. And then the guns were booming, and mm-hmm. that's when the Turks lost heart. They got back into the ships, and they were defeated. And this is one microcosm example in history, yes. But this is what is happening. They think that they can destroy faith, they can destroy belief in Christ, the faith of Christ, and the power of faith and God's grace in the world by destroying the church. They think they can extinguish that fire, and they can't, and they will not. And we see this same event now happening globally. They are trying to impose a pagan, perverted religion on the whole world, mm-hmm. a nature worship, which is just a mask for Satanism. And they will try to impose this diabolical perversion on the whole human race, and to outlaw Christianity as such. And that is their ultimate goal. And to exterminate the human race in the process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But okay, it will not succeed. That's why it will turn to violence. It will eventually turn to violence. When they become mm-hmm. completely exasperated, and when they begin to lose hope in their own victory, that's when they will go into a state of rage. And that is when they start the mass killings. Mm-hmm. It's happened throughout history so many times, it will happen again.
Yeah.
Bergoglio is experiencing this already. He is already becoming unhinged, and he's starting to rage against the traditional Catholics in the United States in particular.
Because they won't go along.
Because they're still there, and they're still resisting. Mm-hmm. Ever since Vatican II, they thought once they had, they started this revolution at Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council. And once they had that council, they thought it would be a simple matter mm-hmm. that when they changed the Mass, that the traditionalists would just disappear, the older ones would die off, and that would be the end of it. They won't be there anymore. But that was like 50 years ago. Well, just over 50 years ago, they instituted a reformed liturgy, a new Mass, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. was the beginning of a revolution which is intended eventually to suppress the Mass entirely. And that's what Cardinal Stritch said about the Third Secret of Fatima, that there would be this movement to reform the Mass, but it would be to abolish the Mass by stages. The Mass is the very heart of Christianity, of the Catholic faith, of the Catholic religion. The embodiment of the Catholic religion is in the Mass. As Martin Luther said, destroy the Mass, destroy the Church. Toli Missam, toli Ecclesiam.
Huh.
This is the agenda. This is the agenda of the United Nations, of the people who run the United Nations, the financial powers. And it is the agenda of Jorge Bergoglio. And this is what the synod is leading to. Now that the synod in Rome is going to be dealing with the questions of the universal church regarding the constitution of the church, synodality is going to replace the primacy of the Pope, and with the synodality replacing the primacy of the Pope, it will be orchestrated in such a manner. Bergoglio, in his motu proprio Magnum Principium, has already reformed the canon law so that the national hierarchies can institute new rites. And Rome would just simply rubber stamp the changes in the liturgy, in the Mass, so that eventually you will have an entirely new religion with a Mass that is not a Mass at all. And it will not be what the Church has defined is the very essence of the Mass. That will cease. And in order to bring about this revolution, all the groundwork has been laid, and now to formalize the synodality as the principle to bring about the revolution. That is what they are going to discuss in Rome at the so-called synod next month. And by next year, we can expect that the entire Catholic religion, as we have known it, will be totally overthrown.
Oh, my.
But they will not be able to destroy it. They think mm-hmm. they can destroy it, but they will not be able to destroy it.
So they're going to fracture the church and drive the orthodoxy underground, so to speak?
That is exactly what will happen. They will drive the authentic Catholics underground.
Uh-huh.
And eventually you're going to have United Nations resolutions, and you're going to have the uh-huh. secular governments using a law enforcement to suppress the Catholic religion as we've known it, the authentic, true Catholic religion, because the counterfeit revolution, the counterfeit religion of the revolution is the only one that will be accepted, and the only thing that will be permitted. The United Nations Agenda 2030 religion, the nature worship, Bergoglio's religion, that's the only one that will be allowed.
It's a communist Zionist Bolshevik overthrow, what it sounds like. Globalist, whatever you want to call them. It's the same group. All right, we just have about 4 minutes left. Your friend sent in several more things he wanted to discuss, but you did mention a divine manifestation in the sky that will be seen by many. Now, this has been talked about for a long time. It's a hologram. But in your suggestion, I guess we're talking about a real manifestation in the sky. Do we still expect that to happen?
Yes, that will happen. That is in the third secret of Fatima. It will be seen all over the world at the same time. And it will be known. People will know this is a divine manifestation.
Uh-huh.
And there will be an illumination of conscience so that people will know this is from God, that this is the last warning that God has given before the great punishment that is foretold already in the Old Testament, that this great punishment that's going to break out throughout the world, that's going to take place in many different forms, is going to break out throughout the entire world.
Against the people, against the church, against governments, against the planet, it sounds like.
Against all those of the human race who have rebelled against God. Because the rebellion against God is becoming general, is becoming...
They're younger people, the millennials and Gen Z, they're mocking it. Good luck.
As the Apostle Paul says, and this is sacred scripture, God is not mocked. You mock God, and that is when the hand of God will strike. Mm-hmm. They are mocking God now. The hand mm-hmm. of God will strike.
So when we see the divine manifestation in the sky, simultaneously all around the world, what will that indicate is being begun at that point?
This
the great cleansing?
That's one way of putting it, but it's going to be a tremendous chastisement of the world. All kinds of evils will break out. It will be human and divine, beginning uh-huh. with there'll be war. There will be wars. There will be in the message of Fatima, in the secret of Fatima, it mentions that there will be pandemics that will wipe out entire nations in 24 hours. God is permitting this to happen as a punishment mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because they have developed these bioweapons. They've been mm-hmm. doing this for decades.
Mm-hmm.
For more than half a century, they've been developing these bioweapons, and these bioweapons are already being, little by little, being released onto the world. They're being unleashed onto the world's population, and it's only going to get worse.
Couldn't agree more.
So you go... The bioweapons, and then there's going to be a world war, and then there's going to be natural phenomena which are not human in origin. There's going to be natural catastrophes.
Uh-huh.
God's providence has ordained that these natural catastrophes are going to happen as a punishment. And then, because the human race will still be obstinate in this rebellion against God, then God is going to send a supernatural divine punishment on the world. And that will be in the form of fire.
The fire will
fall from the sky. Fire will fall from the sky, and that will be selective. Unlike nuclear weapons, which aren't selective, God selects his targets. So when God will exterminate the wicked from the face of the earth, the fire is going to end the chastisement. When the fire has done its work, then the punishment will be over.
Purification through fire.
That's it.
Wow. Well, that's a lot to think about. Thank you again, Father Kramer. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll carry on with our conversation. This, again, is a major part of the so-called reset, but there are going to be dues that are going to have to be paid for this, and they're going to be big, 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 big. Okay, thank you, my friend. You take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye now.
All right. Father Paul Kramer. Well, that's it. We made it through another week, and it's a three-day weekend here in most of these formerly United States. Enjoy your weekend. Take care, and we'll be back on Monday. Talk soon.